A distinct lack of wolf whistles. Disappointing. That's all right. I was going to say it was Dad's birthday, Mum. You sold my thunder. Jackson was going to stay in here and listen to his dad preaching. Not here. But Cooper, he stayed down for me. Thanks, Coop. Appreciate it. All right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we can come together, we can meet at church, we can sharpen iron with iron, we can join like-minded people, we can worship together. God, I thank you that you've given me a word. I pray that the word lands on good soil and we water that soil. I pray that it's not me talking, but you through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I didn't know what to talk about because, like, you know, I need to benefit from it. Like, that's the kind of person I am. If I'm going to do something, it needs to be beneficial for me, right? So, life's obviously been pretty good at the moment because I didn't have anything to massively whinge about or to talk to you guys about. But then I was in the car and I thought, I've got to get this sorted because there's only a few days left and I've got to preach. And I was trying to be all holy in the car and stuff. And I was chandeliering and like people were cutting me off. And I was like, that's all right. No worries, right? When usually I would have been miserable. But I was trying to be all like holy. And then I heard on the radio, the radio was quite faint because you don't want the radio off when you're trying to sing because it's not great. And I heard this story. John Hughes came on the radio. And John Hughes is a business, you know, John Hughes, the car salesman. And the bit that got me is he was going to talk about his worst ever customer, right? So that just hook, line, and sinker. Sorry, God, you're going to have to wait, right? When someone's talking about someone that's terrible, you've got me. So what he was talking about, and I'll tell you the story. It's not a Christian story. It's not from the Bible, but I used it to sort of direct where this sermon's going, all right? So, my sermon's actually called, for those at home, What Distracts You Controls You. So I was distracted when I was listening to this, but the distraction gave me a positive. All right. So John Hughes has been in business 50 years, right? His reputation is your guarantee. That's his thing. So he was talking to this guy on 6PR, Talkback Radio, his worst ever customer. So this lady, she's a doctor, rich. She gets a brand new car. She gets a Ford Capri, Mach 1. I don't know anything about it. I'm too young. But apparently this is the fiddle with the aircon, the tape deck. Down here it had the electric windows. Noel's nodding. Ah, the youth, hey? Remember those days? It was the good time. Anyway, this lady just bought this Mach 1 Ford Capri. He said it cost her $2,800, which is basically the equivalent of like 70 grand. All right, that's how much a new Mustang is, I'm comparing them. So this lady gets this brand new car. I'm like, what's bad about that? She's not miserable so far. Anyway, she's had the car 2 days. John, bring in this car back. Wow, what's the matter? Well, I went down south, I'm a doctor. I have to go see all these clients, and as soon as I hit 80 kilometers an hour, boom, windows come down. All like a flipping disco. Is something wrong with the car? Or did it happen just that one time? No, on the way back, again about 80 odd, 75 k's an hour, boom. Windows goes down, windows go up. No, why are you nodding? I can't see your face because you're wearing a mask, but I can see your eyes. You're looking mischievous. So anyway, John Hughes takes the car. He's only sold a few of these because they're an expensive car. He's like, all right, we'll have a look at it. Has a look at it. He's like, what's going on with this, boys? Brings out the boys, they're having a look. Everything seems fine. John, everything seems fine. It's got to be something. Check something. All right. We'll check the wiring harness to the thing. All right, we'll check that. No, everything sounds good. All right, let's call her back. Doctor, come get your car. We've had a look. Everything seems fine. All right, that's good. Now, she hasn't whinged that much yet, right? To be John Hughes' number one complainer. So then, 3 days later, so this is 2 days, they have a car for a day, 3 days later, twice in the first week, John, there is something wrong with this car. Soon as I go on this trip, soon as I get out of the state, I'm driving 80 k's an hour because that was like fast back then. My windows are going ballistic. He's like, okay, bring it back in. We'll sort it out, you know. My reputation is your guarantee. So, brings in the car. He's like, second time, boys. You dropped the ball the first time. Second, he's like, let's try it. Let's go to 90. Ooh, 90, right? Gets to 90, nothing. Dreamy. You know what? I'm going to get this lady. Doctor, get in the car. You're taking me for a drive. Gets in the car. 75 k's an hour. She looks at him. All right, this is good. 80 k's an hour. Nothing. 80, he goes, go to 90. Gets to 90. And she's like, all right, maybe you fixed it. She's not happy about this because she's wasted a lot of her time. Maybe you fixed it. All right, no worries. What'd you change? I won't tell you just in case. Didn't tell her. All right. So, 3 months now pass. She comes in, I want a refund. Cash, right now, give me the money. What's the problem? Same thing. Every time I go on a trip, I'm out on the open road, it's dreamy. The windows come down, I'm flying all over the place, not knowing what's happening because I can't control these windows. It's very distracting. I don't care what you say, I want money back. Okay. I got one last resort. I'll call in Jimmy, all right? Jimmy's from over east. Jimmy solves problems. Jimmy comes in. Jimmy sits in the front seat silently. Jumps into the back seat. He's been there an hour. Everyone's going, what's Jimmy doing? Everyone's like looking around. What's Jimmy looking at? Jimmy finds his hair in the back seat. That's weird. Call in the lady. Doctor. Doctor, Jimmy, doctor. So, doc, I found this hair. What? Do you have a dog? Yep. What sort of? Great Dane, Wolfhound, Cross. Okay, tell me about this dog. What's my greatest companion I've ever had in my life. When I go for a drive, it sits on my lap. Okay. So you realize what's happening, don't you? No idea. The dog's also sitting on the window winders and causing your windows to go up. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. All right, thank you. Leaves. So he solved the problem. The problem was her. The problem was the dog. The problem was something she had invited into her car. She didn't just invite it into the car. She wanted it there. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, you can go. She wanted the dog. The dog was her greatest companion. All right? So obviously there was no, thank you, John, like you've solved my mystery. It was just like, oh, that's a bit annoying. But now at least she knew she was the problem. So this made me think about us, the journey of life. And I'm talking about what distracts you, controls you. So that dog caused a reaction which distracted the driver and almost got her to the point where she wanted to get out of that car. She was done with that journey. Too much for me. I'm out. It was very, very close where she could have thrown the baby out with the bathwater and gone, no, I don't care. I want a new car. So, if we use the analogy of the car being the lady's journey and that journey being God's plan for her life, she was on the journey, right? She was not just on the journey. She was in a comfortable part of it. She was in a brand new car. Doctor, loaded. She was happy. Everything seemed like it was fantastic. Then she invited the dog in. Now, for us, it might not be a dog. It might not be a proverbial dog. It might be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a friend, a relationship. It could be a job. Could be a commitment, something we commit ourselves to, which by itself doesn't seem like it's bad, but it winds the proverbial windows down in our life and causes a reaction. Okay? So, this is when, luckily for us, God says, hey, he's like Jimmy, the problem solver. Hey, get the dog, backseat. Maybe he says, get the dog, roof racks. Maybe he says, leave the stinking dog at home, all right? So we just have to be aware, and hopefully by the end of this, we're going to be aware of the dog in our life that's pushing the windscreen wipers and what are they called? Yeah, window winders. Thanks, Noel. All right. So let's talk about some of the distractions that we're going to encounter. So mum and dad and all that were talking about living like mighty men of God, living like mighty women of God. Unfortunately, on that track of mightiness, there's the odd distraction, right? The first distraction that I'm going to talk about is lust. Whew. The men just wrote it, their heads dipped. So, lust is something like that dog. We let that in. Guys and girls, male and female. Lust, I'm not just talking about sexual lust, I'm talking about envy, I'm talking about jealousy. That's a form of lust as well. So, this isn't a new thing. Lust in the Bible is big time. David, he's the king. He starts a war with the Ammonites, right? Usually he'd be off with them because he's the king. Usually he'd be right there with them, boom, boom, murdering people. But this time he says, "Now I'll stay home." So already, step one, he's not doing exactly what he should have been doing. He's supposed to be leading that group into their murderous pillage, but he didn't. He stays home, all right? Then fault one happens. He has a sticky beak. He has a sticky beak. Fault one. Fault one, you know, even in tennis you get a second shot. Fault two happens. Hey, what's that girl's there's name? Bring her over. Just want to have a chat. Are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah. Bring her over. Then, uh-oh, set and match. David does the dodge, sleeps with this woman who was not his wife, and then has to concoct a deal to get her husband killed so that he can have her, right? So this is game, set, and match, all because of a step one. You know, sometimes we justify the step one. Christian-like guys, when I was a little bit younger, Christian guys would go, "Look, I didn't look twice. I just looked at her for a really long time," right? "It's only a sin if I look twice." Is that true? No, I didn't know that one. All right, yeah, it's true. A woman might say, "Jeepers, hey, Ken, do you want to watch Survivor?" Because those guys got really good abs. "Or let's watch the footy." What? Their shorts are really short today. Like, that's, is that what girls do? I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's why Tamsin and Jamie go to the footy. They're shaking their heads. So we justify it, right? We justify that first little, "I just had a sticky beak, I just had a look," and we justify it because it's not that bad according to us, all right? But we have to be aware that that little something very, very quickly can turn into a big something. I like the analogy of it's just a little tiny veer off track, and I'm just talking like half a degree. But down the path of life, on that journey, that's a very long distance away from where God wants me to be. All right? So that's number one, lust. Can't do it. Keep your eyes away from it. If you wouldn't look at it next to your wife, next to your mum, next to your dad, next to your sister or brother, don't do it. Don't justify it as in like, "Oh, it's one of my friends. Oh, it's, you know, it's nothing. It's just someone at the beach," you know? You have to get that mindset of, if that little step I accept, then I start veering. Maybe not intentionally, but it happens. The second way people in general get distracted is not something they invite in, but something happens to them. A boom moment, I've called it. Something that just goes, "Whoa, that just happened to me. I can't believe it." You know? Life's chugging along, everything seems normal, then bad prognosis. Someone's hurt themselves. Someone dies. Someone gets divorced. Someone gets a life-altering decision that happens to them. Like, thank God I haven't had a lot of those things happen to me, but I'm smart enough and wise enough, I suppose, wise to the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned, that's the ramification. Do you know? We're no longer living in God's perfect world. We're living in a world where we get to make decisions. And unfortunately, generally speaking, the decisions we make, because we're human, suck. They're wrong. Because we make decisions for us. So, dealing with this sort of situation, that itself is not a distraction. Someone dies, you deal with the situation. I don't know, I'm not talking about how long it takes us to grieve for something. I'm not talking about how long it takes us to deal with something. I'm talking about the way in which we deal with it. So in Peter, God says, cast your burdens to Jesus as he cares for you. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus in Hebrews 12, the author and perfecter of our faith. Matthew 11, come unto me, all that you that heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and your burden is light. The thing to do when one of those boom situations happens is to deal with it the way God wants us to deal with it. See, a distracted person focuses on the why me. A distracted person stops casting their burdens and goes into their own and says, what can I do in my own strength? What can I do about it? A distracted person becomes bitter and resentful instead of asking God for guidance and help. Distracted people only rely on themselves. They forget what they've learned because we understand what distracts us controls us. Here's a quote that I think is applicable to the boom situations. Don't let the urgent overpower the important. Don't let the urgent overpower the important. There's loads and loads and loads and loads of things that become urgent, some more critical than others, some you can't avoid. It means no matter what the situation, we have to remember that we have direct access to God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, King of kings, Lord of lords. We have him to talk to. We have the Bible to reference. We have other like-minded people which God has ordained to minister to us. We need to ask him and we need to listen to the answer and act upon that. So the third distraction, we've got big issues and we've got busyness. Anyone ever been busy? Dave, you're not busy. Yes, hey, here we go. Round of applause for Dave, honesty. All right. So Luke 10 verse 28 is an awesome story about busyness. And it's the story with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And they go to Mary's house. And I think Martha might have been a wog, right? Because she was like, hey, come and sit down. I'm making you pasta. I'm making you bread, right? So Mary was there talking to Jesus, living with Jesus, just appreciating Jesus being there. And Martha was there for a bit, but she's like, I'm getting to be hungry, right? And she's like, if I'm hungry, surely these guys are hungry. So she nicks off. She starts making bread. We're not talking getting a bag of flour, chucking some olio in a pan and chucking it in the oven. This is now, making bread's a bit of a nightmare, you know. They've got to grind it and it's work. And when she's doing it, instead of being like, oh, I can't wait to get back to Jesus. This is going to be great. She's going, that dirty little sister of mine, not doing a single thing to help me. She could have gone and got the water. She could have got the oil. What's she doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet. So Martha, being a wog, I think, says, hey, Martha, what are you doing? Right? I mean, Mary, what are you doing? And Jesus was like, hey, leave her alone. She's spending time with me. Right? And that's the focus. We can get busy doing stuff, right? We can get busy in life making our kids make sure they've got after-school sports sorted. Jackson's done piano. Emmy's doing dancing. Oh, Emmy's doing running club. Jackson's doing running club. Jackson's doing soccer on a Tuesday morning. I only know this because, like, I'm just in the house when Tams and Winch is about. But Tam, don't be so busy, babes. No. The reality is we do get busy. And if we're not busy, we think we should be doing something, right? Oh, I should be doing something. Oh, I can't justify just sitting and doing nothing or just being. We sort of, the world today, we sort of feel like we need to be doing something, yeah? So this is why we make meals for new parents. We help people move house. That sucks. Cam's going to ask us to do that next week. Serving at church, mowing old people's lawns. And these are all good things. Don't get me wrong. Until they become a distraction, until they prioritize you and your time over what the reason you're doing it. I'm doing this to be nice, to be helpful, to help someone so they can have less stress in their life. Fantastic. But that means I'm going to be a jerk to my wife because I'm knackered when I get home. All right? Wrong answer. Jesus said it like this. Martha, the poor you're always going to have with you, but I'm not going to be here the whole time. All right? So for us, you're always going to have stuff to do. We're always going to have stuff to do. All right? We have to prioritize, focus on God, focus on what He actually has called me to do. And if something distracts from that, we need to be careful about it, because God has a hierarchy of control. All right, so did I read that? Let me just quickly check something. Oh, yeah, on track. So three distractions. We've got lust, problems, and busyness. Has anyone ever had any issues with those, or we're all good? Nothing. All right, so the three, those three distractions, why are they bad? All right, the simple fact is, distraction in Latin means drag, because I'm a Latin scholar, obviously. It means tear away. So distraction isn't like, oh, sorry, I just got distracted. That's not a distraction, that's losing your train of thought. Distraction is something that tears you apart from what you should be doing. And tearing is that's an action, you know? That's not just that's just not like a gentle pull. Tearing sucks, right? So it shouldn't, anything that tears you apart from what you should be doing, it's a negative. Distraction changes who God says that we are. See, the devil has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us to lose track of our promises from God. God says we all have a plan and a purpose, but the devil's main objective is for you to not carry out that plan and purpose. Like, this is it. God says, I want you to do this. Devil says, I want you to not do that. Do you know what I mean? That's simple. And yes, we know there's all these types of things like lust and busyness and boom, situations the devil uses. But we have to make the decision, yes, these situations have arisen. How do I respond? Another thing distraction does, and these are on the next slides, Morgs. Distraction changes God's timing. See, God has a perfect time for everything. God's perfect timing. The problem is, we aren't God and we're human and we want stuff now. Give it to me now, all right? So the devil wants us to either rush things or worry or fear that we're going to miss out. So he wants us to speed up or delay God's perfect timing. The third way that distraction is bad is because it makes us settle. God's perfect plan never, zero times, has it included compromise. There's no such thing as compromise for God. The illusion of grace. This guy at my work, his daughter didn't have a job. She used to work at a news agency, and she got a job finally. This is back in the day when jobs were hard to find. And he's not a Christian, but he was like, oh, it was so good. She finally got a job. It's so good that she's got a job. The problem is that job was clearly for a drug dealer, because she had seven phones and she had to answer them. And she had an office inside a massive factory with nothing in it. And she had a different name to answer for each different phone. I'm like, this is not good, Wayne. He's like, no, it's good. $32 an hour. I'm like, I wonder how much you get paid in jail. Right? That is an issue. God's plan is not for you to have the illusion of good. You've got to have God be willing to wait for great, all right? I just thought of that, man. That's pretty good. Yeah? All right. Another example might be, I want to get married. You know, I lived with a sister who didn't get married till she was 39, so I know what it's like when you hear people, was she 38? Huh, that's how old I am. Just so you know, you didn't know how old I was. So I found a bloke, you know. God's helped me get a bloke. One problem. He's in Germany. He's got five different kids to five different women. He's not a Christian and he's in jail. But besides that, God has provided a man for me, you know. You guys are shaking your head. No, that's not right. But obviously that's an extreme example. But you can imagine how we have a requirement out there, God, I need to get married, and we come across something that looks like an illusion of good. Hey, he's a bloke, two legs, head, that's a win, right? Maybe that's what God wants, right? No. It's not. So what do I do if I'm feeling distracted, guys? What's the plan? Well, we can look at Jesus. This is the benefit about the Bible. This is the benefit about Christianity. Jesus came to earth so he could do it before us, all right? So Jesus got distracted. Jesus got distracted. Did you know that? Yeah? Good. So Jesus went and fasted for 30 days, right? And 40 days. Oh, yeah, 40. Thanks, Mum. And it says that in Matthew 4 that the devil took Jesus to a high mountain. Like, if Jesus is getting distracted, don't be so concerned that you are, because you're like me and we're nothing like Jesus, unfortunately. Jesus got distracted. Jesus was taken up to this hill, to this mountain, and we know what happened. But how did Jesus deal with it? He dealt with it quickly, and he dealt with it with the word of God. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." See, distraction is not a sin. Don't think distraction is a sin. Distraction is a speed hump. Distraction is a deviation. Distraction can lead to sin. If we respond to the distraction, it can lead to sin. It can also lead to roadblocks. It can lead to stuff that might not necessarily throw us off course. It might just be something we have to climb over, all right? So, we've got to be careful not to let distraction become a habit, all right? If distraction becomes a habit, it's no longer a distraction, it's a way of life, all right? Don't let a speed hump become a full-blown roadblock. And don't let a visit to distraction become a permanent place to dwell, all right? God has a hierarchy. When you're dealing with distraction, God has a hierarchy of priorities for him. First is God. Second is your family. Third, church. Fourth, the rest. So we need to make sure we understand when we see things that come as opportunities, where does it fit into God's hierarchy? If dealing with the rest affects my relationship with my family, gone. If dealing with church affects my relationship with God, and that happens by purely serving and serving out of a bad spirit, serving, being tired and not identifying that you're tired and need a break, but you say, you know what, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do a good job, and I'm not going to do it happily, and I'm going to be negative about it, that's affecting your relationship with God. We have to be careful about the balance. I was talking to Adam at the back. Hey, Adam, at the back, during the week. He already got a prophecy today, so he got his value out of the service, but he stayed for my preaching, which is good. I was talking to him. So Adam's dad passed away the other week, and I was talking to him about what I was going to preach on. And he goes, oh, my dad actually wrote a book, which I'll send you a picture of this one page. And it lined up really, really well. This is the excerpt. If we don't focus on what positive things, then we, by virtue of our environment, think on negative things. I'll read that again. If we don't focus on what positive things, then we will, by virtue of our environment, think on negative things. Human nature is such that we need constant renewing of our mind. We need constant regeneration of our thought patterns. And this is because our mind is corrupt. Now, a really good story is from Job. And Job, we know, was rich. Chapters 1 and 2 were just talking about how loaded this guy was. Or what, chapter 1, sorry. We're talking about camels, cows, slaves, which back then was okay, apparently. Children, outhouses. This guy had it all, right? Then he loses animals, loses cows, loses his kids. He's lost all except his wife. And his wife says, what are you doing, mate? This God is, this isn't working for us. And he goes, you know, Job chapter 2, holier than thou. He goes, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? That's pretty good. Good on you, Job. Well done. What a good attitude, you know. When sucky things happen in life, Job's saying, you know what, guys? Unfortunately, you can't just take all the good and none of the bad. You know, God helps you out an awful lot. Sometimes you make a bad decision and results in a bad outcome. Guess what? That's par for the course. Good bloke, Job. Well done. Then his mates come over. And this is when you realize, oh, chapter 2 was a long time ago, right? So he had a week of silence. A week. Him and his mates are just sitting there like, you can imagine, just like somber. A week, right? Even if I was devastated, I reckon that would be worse, not talking for a week, don't you reckon? But this was his choice. He didn't talk for a week. And then, after a week of silence, Job hits earth to earth with a thud. The why me's kick in, you know? The why me's kick in. Has anyone ever had a why me moment? Why me, God? Why me? I can see some people tapping their husband. Yeah, you've had that. Or are you tapping your husband because why did you marry them? No. Why me? Stuck with this one. No. So Job had the why me moment, and we sort of understand in chapter 3 where this came about. Job 3:25. What I feared came upon me, what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. What I feared came upon me. What I dreaded happened to me. Dreaded. That wasn't a passing thought. So even though Job had all this stuff, back in that time where he had the stuff, this was still in the back of his mind. What I dreaded happened to me. You know what? Sometimes we get distracted by situations that we've invented. What happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? What happens if this happens? It's like God's going, why are you thinking about that? Why? What? Why are you worried that a piano is going to land on your head as you go for a run? That's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? But Job was dreading this happening to him. Although he was favored, rich, and blessed, he, just like us, he had a distraction in the back of his mind. If we don't focus on positive things, this is the excerpt from the book. If we don't focus on positive things, we'll be, by virtue of our environment, think on negative. So just like Job, we need to focus on the positive, not the negative. If I'm feeling distracted, negative, substandard, not good enough, not worthy, insecure, think of the positive things. Think of the things God has promised for me. Focus on his provision, not your lack. Focus on his grace, not the sin. Focus on his power, not my weakness and my insecurities. Focus on what he's given you, not what you don't have. Your blessings, not your curses. Philippians 4 verse 8 actually gives us a scripture. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there can be any virtue and if there can be any praise, think on these things. That's how we stop being distracted. See, we need to stop and check what we're doing. Because if we're veering off, if we've allowed that small distraction to get us off track and we've gone down that road, it's not all negative, right? The devil wants you to think you cannot come to me with this, you can't come to God with this problem again. I spoke in kids' church about a month ago, and I said to the kids, I used an analogy of a whiteboard. When we sin, there's a whiteboard, and it's closed over like this, and it has the feeling that we're separated from God. And when we say sorry, we open that whiteboard up and it's the way is clear. You know, what the devil wants us to do is go, mate, you got to stop pulling that blackboard. You pulled that blackboard 1,000 times. You can't keep closing it and I'm not going to keep it. The devil wants you to think you're not going to be able to get over it. You're not going to be able to work through that situation. You're not going to be able to work through that lust problem. You're not going to be able to work through that boom situation, and you're not going to be able to work through the situations that cause you distraction, because the devil wants you to stay away. The devil wants you to be on that path that's veered off, right? What God is saying is, I can forgive you. I want to forgive you. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But we have to identify the distraction. We have to say to God, just like we did when we were Christian, God, take control. We have to say, God, bring me back onto that path. Set me back up onto that walk, because I don't want to be over there. It's a decision we have to make though, guys. I'm nearly done. Yay. All right. Why do we give God control? So to stop being distracted means giving God control. Mum spoke about being the hammer, you know, the word of God. We have to do, be, and confess. Yeah? Giving God control, like I said, it's like when you say, when you become a Christian, you like say, God, forgive me, come into my life. I'm sorry for what I've done, you know? That's the very first time anyone gives God control of their life, and that's the sinner's prayer, yeah? You're saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to stop. My way hasn't worked. I need your help, right? And we have to acknowledge that we can't do it in our own strength. Now, the reason we can trust God is because he's trustworthy. He's consistent. He never makes mistakes. He's never surprised when we do wrong. I think there's sadness because he knows when we do wrong, we are walking taking that via, and it's going to take us a little bit longer to get back on that path of his calling for our lives. But he's never shocked, and he never won't say no. I mean, he never won't say, yes, I'll forgive you. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Isaiah 30, whether you turn left or right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, there is the way, walk in it. So, we know why the devil wants to take us off course. We know why distractions come, yeah? Now it's up to us whether we want to get rid of the distractions. See, item number one on that first page was lust. That was something we invited in. Jealousy, envy, sexual lust. It's something we invite, right? So we have to make the decision to uninvite, yeah? The other stuff, that's where we need God. You know, that's where only we can deal with through his grace and him through him. So we need to focus on what he's called for us, you know, called us for. So I'm just about done. So if you're feeling distracted today, I want to give you guys an opportunity when I pray to just go, you know what? I am feeling distracted. I know that there is a part of me in that one area, maybe only one little tiny area, that is veering ever so slightly off the plan that God has for my life. The good news is we get to make a decision today together where we go, you know what? I'm going to go back to the track where he wants me to do it. All right, so stand with me, please. I'm going to pray. If you want to join me in identifying your distractions and start the ball rolling on moving away from them, you can raise your hands with me while I pray. Thank you, God, that you're in control. I thank you, Jesus, that you know the end, even though before we go through the beginning. God, I pray every single person here that is got their hand up today is challenged into change. I pray we identify the areas where we're being distracted. I pray we resolve them. I pray we walk away from things we need to walk away from, and I pray we walk towards the thing you want us to walk toward. God, I pray we facilitate the relationship you want to have with us, God. Give us a fresh desire to read your word, to listen to you in prayer, and to spend time with people that sharpen iron with iron. God, I thank you that you love us and you welcome us back every single time. Thank you, Jesus, that you're dealing with our distractions as we deal with it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Distractions. Well done, son. That was a great word. Well, I'm going to close the meeting now and say, God bless you. please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee and some fellowship afterwards. That would be great. And we will see you at Life Group and we will see you next week. Amen. Oh, gentlemen, the chairs, please. Gentlemen, the chairs. They will be good in groups of eight. In groups of eight.